There is a place that is spoken about only in whispers. A dark area that spawns the beginnings of urban legends. A place where anything can happen and usually does. During the light of day, it hides just outside of view. But when the sun goes down, spirits, creatures of the night, roam free. And things do go bump in the night. It is in every state and every country, and there is no escaping it, no matter how safe you feel behind your locked doors and latched windows. So we invite you to turn down the lights and turn up your radio while we join Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis, your hosts, on a journey into the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome to the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Show. This is your host, Dave Schrader, along with me as always, co-host and lovable teddy bear that he is, Mr. Tim Dennis. Good evening, Tim.
Aw.
Nice intro, huh? Do I get anything more than a grunt out of you ever?
Aw.
Oh, that's better. All right. Yeah. This evening, we've got a really nice show lined up for you. We've got our guests lined up for this evening. Kristen Gartland from the TV show Ghost Hunters. You've seen her. She's a TAPS member. And she's going to be on hand to talk about her amazing experiences she's had with the paranormal in her own life. We're also going to talk to John Schussler. He is the director of MUFON, the Mutual UFO Network. He'll be here with us after the top of the second hour. But before we get started, as I promised this month, we're going to start highlighting different paranormal groups out there. And I thought the best way to start is with a good friend of mine. She is a fantastic lady. She has an Infinity Paranormal chat board up, so you can actually go during the show that you're listening to right now and chat with other listeners and other fans of the paranormal. Cece, nice to have you on the show. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Well, thank you, Dave. It's nice to be here.
Now, let's hear a little bit about your paranormal group, and let's know what state you're in, and give us some background on it, so if people are having trouble in your area, they know how to look for help.
Okay, well, basically, we are located in southern West Virginia. We are known as Infinity Paranormal Investigations Network. Our network consists of groups worldwide, and we serve the lower counties in southern West Virginia, Tazewell County in Virginia, and other areas, you know, not far from our locale that fits our budget with gases and prices. We do have an online chat room where many groups from the entire United States, actually the entire globe, you know, join us in there. We have groups such as Mid-Missouri. We have Bliss, which is located in Indiana. Excuse me. We have Creek, which is located in Kentucky. We have Naps, which is located in Alabama. If we are not able to service you, we will find a group in your locale that can. We also have two online resources. We have a geographical team index, which lists teams by state. There are near 300 groups listed on that website, so you can go to infinityparanormal.com and access that resource.
And that's fantastic. You know, I appreciate that you're helping to unify this, because there are so many people, I mean, as you know, in this field, there's so many backstabbing teams and causing trouble teams and such, and it's nice that you're able to try to pave a way so that everybody can work and play nicely together, and give, you know, a shout out to good groups in different areas, in different states. So if you have problems with hauntings, demonic possessions, different events like that, you have a place to go. You can always go to your website to look up all of these different investigators.
Exactly. We're not just like one group. It's a unified compilation of many groups worldwide. It's not just like one group trying to tell you like how your protocol should be and what your methodology should be, and mentor and advise these new groups. It's a community of many groups. And the best thing about that, Dave, is you come in as a user into the chat room and you were sitting in there with several groups. And instead of an individual or a certain team telling you how it should be, you get a choice of advice that is displayed to you into the channel, and you choose your own path.
So you don't have to be a member of a paranormal group to come into the chat and talk. If you have problems, you can come in with questions or pictures or audio files.
Absolutely.
I know I've been in there, and there's always people passing around. I mean, it's a nice, friendly community. Let me say that first. So if you go in there and you're not familiar with these people, it doesn't take long to get warmed up and get everybody knowing you and you know, having a good time, and share your information with them and your stories, and you can get some great feedback back and forth.
Absolutely.
All right. And now with your paranormal group, though, how long have you been in existence?
I personally, you know, got an interest when I was 16 years old, which was like in 1992. So there, just full my age. And I actually...
Tim's taken off his shoes to try to count. He's trying.
Yeah, I spent 6 years, you know, researching, you know, interviewing people, you know, getting interested into, you know, what the field is all about. We started our first organization in 1998. And at that time, we were known as the Ghost Riders Paranormal Research Group. Between 1998 and 2004, we acquired 12 more members. And so I opened another group called Infinity Paranormal Investigations. Well, later in the fall, after coming on the TAPS chat room, I met a lot of individuals, you know, got a little more interested in becoming a network. I didn't see very many networks out there. So we took the two teams and we merged them together and we came out with Paranormal Investigations Network, Infinity Paranormal Investigations Network. So then we started with adding other groups from other states. And we actually have groups from Australia and the UK that are also in this network.
Great.
So you have resources worldwide.
So if you have a group and you're looking to get a little exposure and talk, you can definitely go on there and introduce yourself to Cece and the rest of the gang hanging out at the chat room, also through emails. Get in touch with them. If you need help and you have a haunting in your area and you're looking for help, another great way to do that is, again, contact Cece or any of the great members over at the Infinity Paranormal Board. And, again, they can do that at infinityparanormal.com. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, great. Well, Cece, I can't thank you enough, and I really appreciate all the support that you give to Tim and I for our show and hosting the live chat for us, all the great things that you do for the TAPS members. I know you've been a staunch supporter of the Ghost Hunters TV show and TAPS.
Absolutely.
I can't thank you enough for all of us. So thank you very much. Keep up the great work, and we'll talk to you again here in the future. You're listening to The Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. I'm your host, Dave Schrader. We've got Kristen Gartland from the TV show Ghost Hunters. She's a TAPS member, and she's had some amazing stories to share with us. She'll be back with more right after this.
Don't you dare move. There's more to come from the darkness on the edge of town with Dave Schrader and Tim Dennis.
If you read TAPS Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. TAPS Paramag takes you where few would ever go. On purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
You hear footsteps and things bumping and banging in the middle of the night. Could it be paranormal activity? Or is it just Dave and Tim raiding your fridge?
Beer.
Strange things happen. In the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to The Darkness. This is your host, Dave Schrader, along with me, Tim Dennis. As I promised before we went into the break, we've got a great TAPS member with us, one of the few that we have not had the chance to speak with yet this season. Her name is Kristen Gartland. And Kristen's interest in the paranormal started when she was about 15, when her stepmom had a spirit to deal with. And as time went on, she became more interested in the paranormal. She was also plagued by an inhuman haunting that lasted for about 2 years, leaving her with horrible scars and memories that she's probably going to remember for the rest of her life, unfortunately. We're going to talk to her a little bit about her personal experiences with this. She's been with TAPS for about 3 years. She's been on last season, which was season 2, and then that back 9 episodes, you got to see her pop up on that as well. And we'll find out more about the future of Ghost Hunters TV show and if we're going to see more of Kristen this season. Right now, though, I'd like to welcome to the show Kristen Gartland. Kristen, thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for joining us.
No problem.
So you've been with TAPS officially for 3 years, is that correct?
Yeah, it's about three. It's going on 3 years, yeah.
Okay. And what kept you from joining the TV show in the first season? Were you just doing more of the training and getting kind of initiated into the group?
Well, it was more of that I'm a single mom, so it's kind of hard to just, you know, up and leave. And it was more of... scheduling conflicts. I have two jobs, so it was kind of hard to just take off all that time.
Okay.
And, you know, I gave it a shot, season 2.
All right. Did you enjoy doing the filming and being a part of the live investigations like that for the TV?
I did. I liked it. I think, you know, I mean, every TAPS member is awesome, you know, so it's great to have a good group of people to work with and then an awesome production team, so that it just made everything so much smoother.
Now, you actually got involved with TAPS kind of through a backdoor method here, didn't you? You were actually dealing with a demonic or an inhuman haunt of your own, and ended up getting help from the TAPS team. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay. Can you give us a little history on exactly what happened with that and tell us your story?
Sure. It was about, I want to say almost 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I had lost a family member, and I was just completely devastated. And my first thought was, I need to use the Ouija board to try to contact them. You know, I didn't think of any backlash that would happen from it. I just didn't. I really missed. It was my grandmother, and I really missed her. So, you know, I used it, and I got some weird answers. And then the last time that I had used it, I got some pretty bad, you know, die and I hate you and things like that. And I was a little shocked, and I just blew it off as, oh, maybe, you know, my hand slipped or whatnot. And
your hand slipped?
Yeah, well.
Die, you know, and I hate you?
I know, yeah, you know, I thought, well, that meant I love you and I'm glad I'm here, you know?
Yeah, okay, well, whatever rose-colored world you live in, Kristen, that's fine.
So, and then it just was little things. I mean, I knew I had had a spirit before. I did a little history on the house, and what had happened was there was a cemetery there prior to my house. They dug it up and moved it across the street, and then for some reason thought, hey, you know, let's put a house on it. So they did. They moved my house from about a mile away. So that, I guess, didn't help.
No, so you think that might have been what kind of stirred up the spirits in your home, huh?
I think that's why maybe there was some activity in the beginning. And then, of course, with the Ouija board, I just opened everything up. So it was pretty active. But it was normal spirit things. I mean, you wouldn't think that it was an inhuman in the beginning. I mean, it was, you know, the lights turning off and on, and they would shut my heat off, which I could never for the life of me figure that out. And the windows would open, things like that. And then my son at the time was 2, and he would talk to a girl named Jenny. And I mean, I never thought anything of it. I always thought imaginary friend. And then he described her almost to a T. And I just thought for a second, well, maybe it's just one of the spirits he doesn't realize, you know, is dead.
Sure.
And he constantly played with her and then said that there was a guy named Mike, which was the name that I got when I did the Ouija board. And he said, he's really mean. You know, he throws my toys. And I at that point, got kind of nervous thinking, oh, geez, what did I do?
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, it just became, I can't even describe the anguish. It was just, you could hear screaming, and it was extremely hot in my room, and my bed would shake, and it would rip the covers off. If I would fall asleep, it would literally push me into the bed. You know how when you're falling asleep and you get that kind of jump?
Right,
you know,
exactly. Yeah, that kind of feel like you're about to fall off the bed, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was like that, except you could feel that I came popping up from the mattress because it had gone down so far.
Mm.
And then my son was screaming. He wouldn't go in his room. And then, I mean, just the banging of the doors and the growling sounds. And they were plain as day. You didn't have to use a tape recorder to get them. They were plain as day.
Really?
Yeah. It was. Of course, I thought at this point that I'm losing my mind. And
well, let me ask you real quick, if we can kind of go back a little bit. Now, you said that the, you know, at first it was just regular haunting stuff, lights flickering and mm-hmm. heat going on and off. There was nothing really malicious.
Right.
Did the malicious start after you started horsing around with the Ouija board?
No. Actually, the activity picked up right after the Ouija board. And the reason that I think, I mean, after all my studying now, I'm tending to think that with an inhuman, they almost want to gain your trust.
Mm-hmm.
So where it didn't bother me that the lights would flicker and the doors would open and, you know, I'd come out and something from the refrigerator would be on the table. I mean, those things never bothered me.
Oh, wouldn't that be great, Tim? I'd like for the ghost to put my food out on the table for me, you know, make me a sandwich and then wake me up.
You know.
Ooh, Dave, your sandwich is ready.
Tuck my napkin in.
Exactly.
Piping hot pancakes every morning.
pancakes. So, So they started doing this. Now, let me get this straight, though. I apologize. Don't mean to keep reiterating it,
That's
but
okay.
I'm just trying to get clarification for myself. So you said that it picked up after you started messing with the Ouija. Had you had the lights flickering and the things going on before you messed with the Ouija board?
Yeah.
Okay.
mean, it was the typical door would open.
Okay, but so you're saying that things did pick up then after you started messing with the Ouija board. That's when more of the malicious activity started?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay,
yep.
All right. So what have we learned about the Ouija board, Kristen?
We learned not to ever use it.
That's right. Exactly.
Oh, God. Just the sound of it, you know, I get goosebumps. So please don't use the Ouija board. But, yeah, I mean, it was just, and it went on for a really long time. And
mm-hmm.
my roommate actually had no belief system in the paranormal whatsoever. He thought I needed to get, you know, psych help. And he was actually sitting on the couch on one end of the couch. I was on the other end, and we both had our feet up on the table, and the remotes were in the middle of my coffee table, and the volume just went all the way up and all the way down and all the way up and all the way down, and then it stopped. So, of course, he's looking for every reason why it did it, which is, you know, was perfect because so was I.
Now, I think I may have just figured this out for you, Kristen. I think you were being haunted by Tim's grandfather because he didn't like the heat on, and he couldn't hear the TV, so he was not even going to have to turn it up. What do you think, Tim? Is that...
Do your blinds get turned down at night?
No.
No. Okay.
Doors locked by themselves?
Yeah, I got that a lot.
Do you hear a lot of that's good wire? It's a good wire. Don't throw that away.
The sound of an old man scratching himself.
No, yep. I didn't get that very often.
All right, sorry, Tim. We didn't make a connection here. Okay,
it's not Grandpa.
So now, with these violent attacks, did they ever actually did you have physical striking or touching?
Oh, yeah.
or yep. You know, it never got to like the case in the entity where the woman was being sexually molested at all.
No, it wasn't an incubus. I think it was just whatever I had let in. Man, it was.
Okay.
And it just, anything that it could do, it did. I mean, it pushed me, little things. I shouldn't say little things because they weren't little at the time, but, you know, things would go flying down the hallway, and you think to yourself, man, if I didn't move out of the way, that would have smacked me dead in the back of the head or in the leg or whatever. And then there were actually children, which kind of freaked me out a little bit because you know that, you know, anybody who has a child, you think to yourself, my God, if anything ever happened, I don't know what I would do. And you have these little children would run up and down my hallway. And you could actually see them, which was the funny part.
Really? You could physically see these?
Yep.
I mean, were they three-dimensional? Were they just a wispy?
No, they were three-dimensional. They were actually, I mean, they had full clothes on. And they looked, you know, almost maybe early 1900 clothes.
Okay.
And when I first heard the running down the hallway, I thought, what is my son doing? And I'm looking around the corner, and there wasn't anything there. And then I went, oh, okay, maybe he just ran back into bed, knew, oh, God, if I get caught, I'm in trouble.
Right.
And then a friend and I were sitting at my kitchen table, and we heard it again. So we both looked around the corner, and she just looked at me, and I looked at her, and I went, you just saw that. I mean, I didn't see that by myself. You saw that.
Right.
And she went, oh, my God, there's a boy and a girl. And then they constantly did it, but it was always up and down my hallway.
Now, did they interact with you? Did they look at you and giggle when they were running? Or was it just like maybe almost like a residual loop that was caught going back and forth of them running around?
Well, I thought at first that it was a residual only because it was always the hallway.
Okay.
But then one of the times that we had watched it, and this friend had, you know, always wanted to come over because now she wanted to see little kids.
Right.
Actually ran down my hallway, ran around my bed, which from the hallway you could see the middle of my bed.
Sure.
And they both ran around the bed and looked up at me and then kind of looked as if they were hiding behind the bed, but looking with they were from, like, say, the eyes down.
Right.
And both hands were on the bed, as it, you know, they were holding on. And then I said, "Well, you can come out. It's all right." And then they almost looked at each other like, "Oh, she can see us."
Oh, really?
And then that was it.
Now, the little girl, is that the one that your son was describing?
I don't think so. He said, "Well, can't you see her?" And, you know, I said, "No, I can't see her." And he said, "Well, she can't hear well. She talks with her fingers."
Oh,
and
really?
I thought maybe she was deaf, something happened. That way, and he said, you know, she's very sad. She didn't, and I just said, you know, what do you mean she's sad? Well, she's sad because her ears always hurt. Yeah, and actually, upon further investigation, we went across the street to the cemetery, humongous, beautiful headstone with the name Jenny on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so, and I just thought, wow, maybe that's her, you know, I didn't.
Did it show years? I mean, did it show her as being a little girl?
No. It didn't have any years. It was just, I mean, the thing was probably a good 10 feet high with a little girl on it, and it just said our baby down the bottom.
Oh, okay, so you do know that it was a little girl then.
Yeah,
okay, so
yeah.
It wasn't just the name Jenny on a tombstone that could have influenced him.
No, I mean, it was a huge shrine. It was encased with the small wrought iron fence.
Do you still live at the same property?
Oh, good God, no.
Okay, well, I was going to say, I would think if you talk to the people at the cemetery, they would actually have some history on the family or such, wouldn't they?
Well, I tried to ask them, and they wanted to know why. I wanted to know about a specific headstone, and I had just said, well, you know, I kind of was walking through, and then I think they thought I was weird because I walked through the cemetery. But and I just said, no, I'm just curious how it went. She said, well, these graves go back to, I think she said, the late 1700s.
Holy mackerel.
And some of them had those dates on them.
Okay.
So that was, there wasn't any that were recent. It was a very, very old cemetery. So, you know, and I asked when it had been moved, had everything been taken, or were just the headstones moved? And she said, oh, I don't know. I can't answer that. I don't know.
So how long did you actually live in this haunted home then?
I lived up until Keith had to do a third blessing. And then I just finally had said, you know what, I don't even want to live here. I don't care if it's gone. I don't want to live here. You know, it was
When you contacted TAPS, what was your first conversation with them, and who did you speak to first?
Actually, I didn't even contact TAPS first, believe it or not. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know if there were actually groups out there. I mean, I was very young at the time. I think I was 23 or 24. And I just had no idea, so I did an internet search, and a group came up. And it happened to be, which I didn't know, was part of the military.
And, really?
Yeah. And they had, it's one of their UFO kind of things. And
sure.
I had got an email back that said, well, we'll look into your inquiry. We appreciate any UFO information you send us. And I thought to myself, they've got to be kidding.
Right.
I definitely didn't just send you UFO stuff. So then I did another internet search, and then TAPS came up. I emailed Jason, and I just... You know, now I realize as the case coordinator, when I get the emails, you get that instant validity of, please don't think I'm crazy.
Right.
And that's you instantly know that they are in desperate need of help.
Right.
And that was please don't think I'm crazy. But, it was funny because when he got it, I believe he said there were a few lines missing. Now, I had emailed groups for probably a good 2 months with no response and thought, I don't know what the hell's going on. Why is no one getting back to me? This is this is what everybody wants.
Right.
Jason called me, I think, the next day, or maybe it was later that night. I think it was later that night.
Okay.
So long ago now, but it was within, you know, a 24-hour period. And I just, you know, broke down on the phone, and I said, you have to help me, please. I can't deal with this anymore. I know you're going to think I'm nuts. I'm sure this doesn't happen all the time. And he just said, no, I don't think you're crazy. You know, it's okay. And from what I started telling him, he went, oh, my God, okay. And he said, you know what, we'll be up on Saturday night. And I said, oh, God, that's perfect. Thank God. And I was so happy. And they did. They showed up exactly what time they were going to be here. And if it wasn't for them, I don't know that I would have made it through that mentally. I mean, physically it was okay, but mentally it was just like, oh, my God, what the heck is going on here?
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was nuts. And, I mean, my son at one point just stopped sleeping in his room. He couldn't go in there. I wouldn't go in there. And my cats would stop in the middle of the hallway and just pee, which, you know, cat pee doesn't smell very good.
No.
So I had an abundance of cat pee cleaner. But it was the weirdest thing, you know?
Okay.
I couldn't offer you a Pepsi, but I could offer you a bottle of cat urine.
Yeah, I don't. I'll pass either way.
Just, I love cat urine.
Yeah, mental note, Tim, when we go to Kristen's house, don't drink anything.
Yeah.
Nothing.
At least not the Mountain Dew.
Yeah, exactly. So they came out to do this investigation.
Yep.
And, I mean, what were their initial findings, if you don't mind sharing?
No, yeah, definitely. I forget who had actually come. I know it was, I remember Brian, Jay didn't actually come the first time, but Brian came, and there were a few actually other members that are no longer TAPS members now.
Okay.
They came, and what was happening was every room that I went in, it was in there, but every room that I wasn't in, they weren't getting anything.
Okay.
And so it basically was following me around, so now they're like, well, great, we'll just follow her. We got a lot of video evidence. I had this sun kind of plaque on the wall. It was really kind of huge. And it just started shaking out of nowhere. And not like a random little shake, like someone was kind of running across the floor. I mean, it was like boom, 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 and it was coming off of the wall. And everyone kind of sat there and looked up and went, oh, my God, that's awesome. And I'm thinking to myself, this isn't awesome.
And you caught this all on videotape?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. And they got tons of EVPs, basically growling and, you know, get out, I believe, was a couple of them. I hate her and things like that. And then they
So is it hard for you to get roommates, Kristen?
Now it is, yes.
Get out. Yeah, all right, good night, everybody.
My roommate was like, we got to get up.
Yeah, no
here.
Doubt. So they got all this on videotape. They were actually able to do this. Now, were they able to videotape any of the children or any anomalies that they were actually able to see, just moving things?
Yeah, just there was no kid. Actually, at one point, the children stopped, and anything friendly stopped. It was more, and what I was told, in which, I mean, I had gone to a woman that I've always had readings from, who, you know, I always try to slip in that occasional, yeah, let me see if I know what you're really talking about.
Right.
And, you know, I called her and she said, don't even say a word. I said, all right. And she had actually told me that whatever was in the house was extremely evil and was overtaking whatever else was there that was good, trying to help us.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know how much, you know, faith I put into it, because I really do believe that there are a lot of people out there that have those abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And she just seemed to be one of them. I mean, for years I've been talking to her, and she was fantastic through the whole thing as well. I mean, she tried to help me kind of relax and know that there were other people there that wanted to help, but just they weren't strong enough to fight that. Hmm. And at that point she told me they can't leave. They're stuck, and they are so mad.
How did you, as a mom, you know, and as a single mom, how did you not just, you know, the minute it started screwing with me and my family and I started hearing that, I probably would have picked up that minute and gotten out of the house.
Well, because I think at first I just didn't understand what was going on. I never read too much into the Inhumans. I think I just thought that there was always so much good that evil couldn't possibly happen.
Okay.
And I mean, I was so wet behind the ears when it came to the paranormal. I mean, I read a lot, but you never know sometimes with the books that are out there, you never know what's true. So you have all this information, and I didn't know what was going on. So I just kind of dealt with it, and then it didn't affect him as much as it did me.
Sure.
And it was that, you know, and I would yell and say, you know, you're not going to touch my son because I will cast, you know, everything you could possibly say, I'll cast you to wherever, you know. And, like and I'm sure I just sat there and laughed, but I was in actually a horrible relationship at the time as well, so that didn't help. And I think a lot of my negativity kind of came out, and then that just fed whatever it was that was there. I mean, it just made it, I made it a lot worse, too, with, I think, the negativity I was feeling. And then the fright.
And
it was like
think,
never ending.
So baiting it, you think maybe you were feeding into it more by fighting with it and doing exactly kind of what it wanted to. It was obviously happy that it was messing with your life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And scaring you, so you think that maybe by the yelling and the engaging it like that might have made it a little bit worse.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think at one point, you know, just me even fighting back at it, and it would bounce right back at me. I mean, it would yell. I mean, you could just hear the yelling. And it was I can't even describe the yell. It was just so odd.
Now, would you hear it, or would everybody hear it?
A guy I was dating at the time actually heard it and looked at me like, what the hell was that?
So he heard it and you heard it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So it wasn't anything that, and normally you would think it would try to hide itself to at least make that person look like there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, like you were nuts or something, sure.
Yeah. And it didn't. It really didn't. It just, it let everybody know it was there. And I mean, at one point, my friends wouldn't even come to the house. They absolutely refused. They were so scared, and the heaviness in there was just even worse. And I think I put up with it at the time because I couldn't really afford to just up and leave.
Mm-hmm. And again, how long were you in this house when how long did you stay in this house once the bad stuff started kicking in?
It was about a year and a half. It was a good 6 months before I realized that it was inhuman. So that's, you know, when it started to get real, real bad. And then, I mean, for that whole time, I was looking for someone to come up.
Sure.
And there was just nothing.
Were you getting the bad smells? Were you getting...
Oh, yeah.
Were you getting physically touched? I know you said you weren't getting molested, but were you getting the push or the grab or the pinch? Or...
Yep. Yeah, I got a lot of pushing.
Hmm.
And
they never did that to your son, though?
Not that he ever told me.
Okay.
He was pretty good with, you know, saying that he fell or something hit him or something like that. I mean, he's very verbal.
Okay.
Much like his mother.
Sure.
So, but he never mentioned that.
Oh.
He never said anything. The only thing that I remember him saying was that he was mad, and he got angry a lot.
Hmm.
And I thought, wow, man, I hope he's not going to always be angry.
Well, you know what? Let's come back and we'll discuss more of that in a few seconds, because I've got a theory I'd like to talk to you about.
Sure.
We'll be back with Kristen Gartland and more of Darkness on the Edge of Town right after this.
Are UFOs real? Does Bigfoot exist? Was Emily Rose really possessed? Who is the next American Idol?
She bangs! She bangs! Oh, baby, but she moves! She moves!
Thank
I'm
you.
Wasted by the way
Thank
she...
you.
We try to answer these questions and more each week on The Darkness on the Edge of Town.
2006 is here, and for many of you, another year has passed without treating you and your loved ones to a much-needed getaway. Rocky Shores Resort has just what you're looking for. Join owners Jerry and Kim Pipp at their family-themed resort that offers a heated outdoor swimming pool, volleyball court, playground, spacious lodge with games and activities for the whole family and more. With 6, 2, and 3-bedroom cabins that are affordable, comfortable, and fully furnished, and 12 seasonal RV sites, Rocky Shores Resorts is perfect for a private escape or for a family reunion. The resorts are located on the east shores of Bowstring Lake in the heart of the Chippewa National Forest. Here you can relax and enjoy nature in the Great North Woods, experience dozens of area attractions, and get hooked on some of the best northern perch, panfish, bass, and walleye fishing in northern Minnesota. Call 1-866-878-0101 to book reservations or check out their website at rockyshoresresort.com for more information. This year, don't ignore the call of the wild. Embrace it and enjoy yourselves. That number again is 1-866-878-0101. Rocky Shores Resort is open year-round. Call today.
If you read Taps Paramag every month, you'll be able to tell the difference between the absurd.
Could not go to work because Bigfoot stole my car.
And the creepy. Taps Paramag takes you where few would ever go on purpose. From exclusive interviews with the cast of The Ghost Hunters to the latest trends in technology in the field of the paranormal. To join our journey, order at tapsparamag.com.
Ghosts, goblins, witches, creatures of the night. Yep, that just about covers everybody Dave and Tim have ever dated.
Oh my God, this girl's really turning me on.
Welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town.
Good evening and welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town. Thank you very much for joining us this evening, and for those of you listening to us on our affiliates like Ghost Radio X, welcome in Australia, and we'd also like to welcome our friends over at OmnisoundRadio1.com. Thank you very much for tuning into the show, also for checking us live on DarknessRadio.com. We do have the forums there, make sure you stop in and join up. We also have the link to the live chat over at Infinity Paranormal, so if you'd like to talk tonight during the show and share your ideas and thoughts, we'll be online to chat there with you as well. We're back with Kristen Gartland from the TV show Ghost Hunter. She's been discussing with us her actual paranormal experiences and the things that led her into the TAPS group. Before we went to break, we were talking about all the crazy things that were going on and kind of the anger and things that were being portrayed in her home. One thing I'm kind of curious about now, we've had a chance to watch the show. We've gotten to know you as well as we can through the TV by this. And of course, I gather that not everybody's personality in real life is as it appears on the TV show. But you do seem, and you're in law enforcement, you do seem to have a very strong personality, a very forceful personality.
Yep.
Being a paranormal investigator, first off, let me ask this question.
Yep.
To me, what sounds like is happening is more of a poltergeist activity following you, and that perhaps it's being from you. And if you're feeling this anger and frustration and things that were going on, and especially where you were involved in the law enforcement field at that time, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a lot of pressure and a lot of stress.
Yeah.
You know, I've had relatives that were involved in police work, and they come home with all that bottled up energy, and it can push it out. Do you think that any of this was more maybe poltergeist activity, not so much even a demonic con? It was just more of maybe your crazy energy flashing out there?
No, only because poltergeists are usually short-lived, and they usually center around a prepubescent teen.
Mm-hmm.
Prepubescent
teen... also around the women that are going through the change of life, but I also thought that it was any time that there's massive amounts of stress or things going on. And if you were stressed and you said you were angry and agitated by this, mm-hmm. and if you're putting out that thing, it almost sounds like it was affecting your son as well, this
yep.
kind of energy that was being put out into the air. Do you think that, yeah, I mean, do you see that might have had any kind of reflection? Maybe that is what they do. You know, according to a lot of the legend, the ghost will piss you off to get your energy up, and
yep.
it feeds off of that energy.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a very good possibility. You know, I don't, at this point, I don't throw anything out.
Sure.
but I think only because my anger level and stress level probably didn't start until well after the inhuman was there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pretty laid back. I mean, if I get aggravated, you know, I let you know.
Right.
But I'm not, I try not to be very high strung, and I mean, there are points that I am, believe me, but
sure.
I don't know. I mean, as much as I look back at that, I think it was more, I mean, it was a combination of the anger and extreme sadness that I couldn't move, and I was afraid of what was happening. So, I mean, it was, you had like just three major emotions. I mean, it very well could have been a poltergeist. I've never really heard of one being around an adult. I've heard them more of, like I said, the younger very young teen.
Well, and I don't mean a slam against you on this, but but you also hear about it with people that have mental instability. And I don't mean that against you.
Oh, no,
but
that's fine.
You've got a lot of stress in your life, a single mom going through a lot, crazy stuff going on at home, crazy stuff going on the job. You know, if there's a little crack in the dam, I wonder if that might, again, I don't mean that in a negative way,
no,
but
we all
have those days, you know, where we're nuts, you know, I mean, could it be that? And like I said, on the show, you know, and again, I don't know, I've had the chance to chat with you online here and there and get to know you through some emails, and you've always come off very cordial, very nice person.
Yep.
On the show, they portray you kind of crabby and almost bitchy in a lot of the scenes that they do.
Yep.
And, now I know you've got the Eastern attitude and the Eastern accent on the phone, and, you know, I don't know if that's just to be accepted or what, but, I mean, do you feel that they're portraying you properly, and is that maybe... You know, it is just your personality and attitude.
I have a very strong personality.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if I am angry at something, I'm going to let you know. And I'm just not one to hold that back. I think they got most of that bitchiness from, you know, the one episode in Indiana that I did with Brian. Brian and I have been friends for a really long time. I was betrayed by Brian, and I was very upset. And that... Unfortunately, a lot of it is editing, too,
right.
Because Brian and I, of course, you know, made up and everything was fine from that point on.
Well, yeah, they want the dramatics for TV. They want to show the underlying current and follow it through to every team member, because it seems like this back nine of the episodes, the underlying story to every investigation was Brian making up and you know, chatting with each one of the different members to see if they were okay with him being back in the group.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. And I mean, yeah, I mean, I am a very, a nice way to put it.
You're a very strong personality. You've got your ways set about you, but
I am. Okay. And it's not, you know, I mean, if you called me, you know, at 4 o'clock in the morning and said, oh man, I got a flat tire, can you pick me up? I'm going to come get you. You know, I'm not.
All the way out to Minnesota, Kristen,
oh, yeah.
You're a good friend. That's nice to
drive all the way out there. But I mean, I'm not, you know, they, I think just a lot of people are taken back a little bit by a woman that I just called myself
is
a
strong.
Woman. That made me sound so old.
By a strong woman, right? I'm with you. So a lot of people are turned off by that, and they like the coy, demure, feminine acting gals. I understand that.
Yeah, and I'm not real fond of that.
No.
I mean, and being in law enforcement too. I mean, I have to be a little bit stronger than obviously the guys. They come off as your man. You're gonna, you know, put a lot more force than that little girl is, you know, and that's
exactly.
The way they look at it. They're not implying that I'm little at all, but they,
right,
think
but you
that's
just have that perceived deal, you're a woman, I can overpower you a lot easier than I could Tim.
Right, yep.
Right, I gotcha.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, that's just where it comes
Although
from.
I'll let you know, Tim's a pushover, you can knock him down pretty easy.
Okay.
But that's between us.
I'm built like a brick jello mold.
So, all right, so we've got this out. You're not the nasty, creepy woman that they show on TV, just
no.
Like Brian isn't the complete perpetual loser they try to make him out on TV, and Jay's not the hard-nosed, crabby guy that they always show on TV.
Right.
Right, okay. So, you know, you're all just normal people. You have good days, bad days, just like the rest of us.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Gotcha, all right.
You know, and sometimes we're exhausted, you know, that camera's in your face, and you just think, like, go away.
No doubt.
I'm tired. So.
Well, let's go back now. We'll continue on with your journey here at your haunted house and with what's going on. So now you've had TAPS in there. They've looked at this stuff. How many trips did TAPS make out to your location to investigate this and find these crazy anomalies?
They made the first one, and then the second one was a blessing. They came up. Jay actually came that time. Keith, I believe Heather was there as well. And then again, a few members that are no longer members of TAPS. And when he did the blessing the first time...
Those members went on to form the Doodle Bops, didn't they?
Uh-huh.
No? Okay. Go on.
I have no comment.
They're now known as the Wiggles.
Yes, exactly.
That was funny. I completely just lost my train of thought.
I'm sorry.
All
so
I can
they,
see is the sky dancing.
I just want to see Jason and Grant dancing around going, fruit salad, yummy, yummy. All right, geez, we're all parents, and now we're embarrassed for ourselves. All right, so let's go back. So they're doing the blessing. He comes in to do the blessing. Jason joins you for this.
Yep. So when they started doing the blessing, it went, It literally was jumping from room to room. As soon as one room would get blessed, it would jump into another room, obviously avoiding, you know, the blessing.
Sure.
And then it actually, at one point during the blessing, I started to get real sick. I started just real nauseous, and I went, ooh, can you excuse me for a second? I really don't feel that well. And, you know, Keith said, no, no, you can't go anywhere. Stay right here. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, I think I'm going to throw up. Can I please go throw up someplace else? And he just, you know, he's like, nope, it'll go away, it'll go away. And I'm like, what the heck? I'm thinking, yeah, okay, buddy, I really feel sick. Can I please let me throw up somewhere? And it did. It went away after he had finished the blessing on that room.
Okay.
And so I went, oh, that was so cool.
So he passes us through. He's doing the blessing, anointing anointing the whole room, I would guess.
Yep.
And you can physically, now can you hear this thing making its way into each room? Is it banging, screaming, yelling, singing wiggle songs? What's it doing?
At one point, yeah, it did start yelling, and that was when the last place in my apartment was getting blessed. And that was when it made a really loud just scream. It was like, oh, I'm not leaving. And because it was such a big house, there were six condos in it. Because there was, it was so big, I mean, we couldn't bless everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the time, it had been so late, it took an extremely long time to do the blessing because I really begged him to do it so thoroughly. I didn't care if he had to put 3,000 oil crosses on each wall.
Right.
Just, you know, do it. And I think at one point I asked him, can you please bless the toilet? And he looked at me funny, and I was like, listen, there's an opening in that sucker. You're blessing the toilet.
Exactly. Well, that's the one place you don't want to be sitting and feel a hand reach up and grab you.
I've blessed the toilet many a morning. Yeah.
So that, yeah, and then that's, and then what happened? And then they had to come up again after that because it was actually in the hallways and in other apartments. I had the guy who lives next door to me knock on my door. He just had a baby. And he said, I have a really stupid question. And I of course, I know what's coming now.
Right.
And he said, do things move in your house? Yeah. You think?
Okay.
You know, so I just gave him a little thing. I said, well, yeah, you know, just, you have a baby in there. Just, you know, be careful. Watch out. You know, I have a group that, what do you say? You know,
Kristen, you're kind of a jerk. You get the ghost out of your house into the house with the baby, and then you're like, yeah, you just want to watch stuff.
I
got to get back. Friends is on. I'll talk to you later.
I know. Well, it was one of those that I was so afraid I didn't want to scare him.
Right.
And if there wasn't anything there, I didn't want him to get scared and then think I was nuts.
Sure.
So, and actually, nothing really happened. Small things happened in his house. Nothing ever real bad.
Okay.
This thing must have hated me because it would not leave me alone. It would chase me. I would come home from work, and literally, once I put, there was two keys, one to get on the front door and one to get in my apartment. When I tell you, I all of a sudden became an Olympic runner. I think there was probably a good 35 stairs. I think I hit three.
Wow.
I mean, just like, you know, the long jump.
Because it hung
all
out in the halls now that you'd knocked it out of your place, right?
Yeah, and it was going everywhere else but my apartment. So
you
called
had,
them.
You had them back for a second blessing and anointing.
Yep.
Okay, and what did they do this time?
The same thing, except they did the hallway. They did, I asked them to just be really, really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, the people in the, I didn't really know, it was kind of one of those places that, you know, people were just in and out all the time. They were moving out in and out all the time. Now I know why, but.
Sure.
They, what do you call it? So when Keith did, he did my front door inside and out again, and then he did actually everybody's doorway on the way down, just very quiet to himself, and just anointed the top of the doors. And when we got to the very front of the house, he did the front door. And as he did that, this thing came flying down the stairs. It blew my hair. I had long hair at the time. Blew my hair off my shoulders. That's how fast it came running down. Well, to run, but floating.
That's what happened
whatever.
To our hair, Tim. A ghost blew our hair off.
I knew it.
Yeah.
See, that's why I don't have as much hair now.
Okay, so it blew past you, gave you that gust of wind. Okay.
And it was so loud, the scream,
mm-hmm.
that everyone that was at that in the hallway at that point stopped and just looked at each other. And we just kind of looked around, and I went, oh, my God. I mean, it just went right by me. And whatever Keith did as far as his blessing, it got it out. And then that was it. I had nothing. And then it was just the regular, yeah, we're back.
Oh, so then you stay there.
Yeah, now I'll stay. Well, actually.
No, I mean, then you moved out, actually, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I moved out, yeah. I was just so much in there that I didn't, I don't know. I think it just gave me such a bad feeling after that long of dealing with it.
Well, once you got rid of the inhuman, did the children spirits or the friendlier spirits start showing up again?
I got little things. I never got them running down the hallway again. Mm-hmm. My son always still talked about Jenny, so I assumed that, you know, she was still there. He never mentioned anything else. He did mention talking to my grandmother a few times, which was pretty cool. He didn't really know, you know, he didn't know she was dead. So, you know, I would say, well, tell Nana I said hi, you know.
Sure.
And just little basic things like that. And then that was, it really basically everything ceased. And I almost felt bad, and I apologized. You know, if anybody heard me, they would have thought I was out of my mind. But I kept saying, I'm sorry, you can come back. You know, you can't, you don't have to leave. I feel bad. I'm sorry about all that happened. I caused mm-hmm. all that. You know, I apologized. I felt, you know, some of them I don't think even knew they were dead. So they just went about their business. But then once all that took place, I just felt so bad. I felt like they didn't have a place to go after that.
Right.
And then I didn't feel comfortable there, so I left.
Now, does your son, you know, he was able to sense these things and speak to Nana and whoever else was hanging out there. Has he shown these abilities since you left that house?
A little bit, but because he know, I think a lot of it now is his imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Because he remembers some of the things that happened, and he'll say, I remember Jenny. You know, I remember what she looked like, or I remember she used to sit in my room, or Mike, and he was mean, and... But he's never shown anything like that, and I've tried to see if maybe he could. But, I mean, he's at that, right at that age where, you know, you run and jump in bed because you're afraid something's going to grab your feet.
Right.
So, you know, I don't want to be putting up stairs on the end of the bed.
Tim's been in that age since he was 3.
Yeah, right.
He still hauls ass across the room and jumps into bed.
Yeah, I think I still do that sometimes.
He's just shaking his head and smirking at me.
I hey,
let out
all
of
it.
The secrets. You know.
The only other time I run that fast is when somebody says OCB, Old Country Buffet.
Half off night. Broom, there's Tim. All right, so you got the blessing. You got the spirits out of there. Things are going pretty well. What made you decide, hey, you know, I want to get involved in doing paranormal investigating myself now?
Well, the house that I moved to,
mm-hmm.
Whatever it was in the other house, followed me. So I had to call it back.
The inhuman?
Yeah.
So what, it was hanging outside your door now that you blessed it out of the condo?
Apparently it was like in the U-Haul. I must have packed it up somehow. I don't know. But just I had really weird things happening again. And I just thought, oh my God, like I can't possibly be that much of a ghost magnet. And I mean, this is little things that have been happening since I was a kid anyway. And I just never really understood it. And then,
Tim, did you have a quick question here?
Yeah, does U-Haul require a box when you pack up an inhuman? I'm just wondering.
No, no.
But there is a special addendum rider for the insurance policy.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have to be real careful with
exactly.
them.
Exactly. All right, so you started having these crazy things starting to happen again, so you had to have them over to investigate your new home.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Keith is like my personal demonologist now. I have him on a pager.
Awesome.
They just came up, did the blessing again, and that was the end of that one.
Okay. So you got the spirits out. Now you've been pretty settled down ever since, correct?
No, I had actually another one. Can you imagine this? Like, we live to find a house with an inhuman. I live to find one without. I had moved to Somerville, which is my hometown, and I had another one there. I called Keith, and he did some EVP work, and he's like, good God, woman. How does this happen to you? I'm like, I don't know, but I'm like, enough.
Maybe you should stop painting the pentagrams on your floor and drinking goat's blood. Kristen, it's just my, you know, personal view. Tim, any input on that?
Yeah, those aren't party favors. They're satanic rituals. You want to stay away from those. Yeah.
That and the Ouija board. So now you don't mess with the Ouija board, right?
Oh, good God, no.
Okay,
nope.
You've gotten rid of that. Now, did you destroy the Ouija board? Did you toss it away? Do you still have
it
in the closet?
Actually, they took it for me.
Okay, good.
And I believe they burned it, I want to say.
See, I heard that made it even worse. Once you burn the conduit, that makes it even more problematic, but I guess it's all subjective. Nobody really knows how all this stuff works.
Yeah.
But now you've been with TAPS. Did you join it because you've got, apparently you're into helping people. You're into the law enforcement deal.
Yep.
You saw that the stuff that went on in your life and saw how they were able to bring relief. Is that what led you to believe, or, you know, led you to kind of join TAPS and become a crusader with them?
Yeah. I mean, okay. I didn't want to see anyone else, you know, in my situation and not have someone with sympathy rather than empathy.
Sure.
And you know, ever since then, it's been, like, you know, perfect. I love talking to all these people about it, and it's fun.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes left on the show. I'm sorry, it's going by really fast on us tonight. Can you tell me, with the show so far, or, you know, even off the show with Taps, what's been the creepiest experience you've had? Everybody always wants to know that from the Taps people.
The creepiest? Because I didn't just describe it.
Well, no, I mean outside of the, out of your own realm. I mean, you know, going out there, it's got to be kind of, you know, you got to hope that you're going to run into something creepier somewhere else, because then you feel like you're not just the magnet that's drawing these things, I would guess.
Yeah. Waverly Hills, I think, was just seeing, you know, some of the things that we saw, and I think knowing the history of it became one of my creepiest, best investigations ever. But I, since, you know, the things at my house, I really don't get creeped out all that much. So Waverly Hills definitely takes the cake. That was the best place I've ever been.
Are you going to be more in season 3 this year? Are you coming back, do you know, or are you just doing more of the behind-the-scenes real hands-on work with the at-home team?
Well, I'm hoping to do both. I mean, I really like to do both. I like that, you know, Jay gives me the opportunity to travel.
Sure.
In, you know, to places that I would never be able to do myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, for the most part, it'll be pretty much what it was last season.
Okay.
You know?
Well, you know, you better watch out, because there's somebody vying for your job on the show. I don't know if you heard, but just in the last week there's a news story that Oasis singer Liam Gallagher asked Gwyneth Paltrow for her help to chase ghosts out of his house. Yeah, according to the story, the wild rocker who shares his London home with his fiancée, Nicole Appleton, and their 4-year-old son, Gene, are convinced that the lavish pad is haunted, and they hear unexplained noises and chilling footsteps. So I guess, you know, that's what I would think. The first person I want to go to is Gwyneth Paltrow. She got rid of Ben Affleck, and that's demonic.
Yeah.
So if she can do that, she should be able to knock out anything.
Hey, Ben's a hometown boy.
Oh, yeah. I hear
Gwyneth works a lot like Keith, in that she takes her baby Apple, throws oil in the baby's mouth, and then sprays the walls with crosses.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's interesting stuff.
Yeah, it says that he turned to the 33-year-old star, who has apparently turned to Shakespeare in Love actress Gwyneth Paltrow, who previously hired a Kabbalah priestess or a priest to come in and rid her home of bad energy in her house earlier this year. So she helped him with an exorcism, too. So, see, I'm telling you, it's just a matter of time, Kristen, and it's going to be Gwyneth Paltrow instead of Kristen Gartland. You better toe the line, baby. It starts.
That's
to
right. She's a lot
up.
Prettier.
Oh, stop. Well, I can't thank you enough, Kristen. Thank you very much for joining us in the darkness. I hope we can have you back again sometime after season 3 kicks off and you've got some more experiences under your belt.
Yep.
And feel free to let us know if anything cool happens with any private residence investigations that you'd like to share with us.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning into the Darkness on the Edge of Town Paranormal Radio Show. We'll be back at the top of the hour with our guest from MUFON, John Schuessler.